And so hopefully it'll be a good one. Got your Bible, turn over to the book of Exodus tonight, Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 21. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading, and hopefully you'll find it. It's the second book of the Bible if you're still looking. Exodus 14, look at verse 21. Children of Israel just had come out of the land of Egypt, about to cross the Red Sea. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 23 says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Verse 26 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to the strength, to his strength, when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. They came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I want to pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Read a couple more verses here. Father, thank you again for letting us be in church tonight. Lord, I ask you again, please move in our hearts and our midst. Lord, this thought, your thought. Lord, may again we ponder it, think about it. And Lord, again, use it in our life. Thank you again for your word and the power of it. Lord, bless your people in a real way tonight. If there's someone not saved, draw them to yourself. Help us as Christians to be what you want us to be. Thank you again for what was sung. Oh, what a Savior you are. I think one day we'll be with you. Father, again, we just ask for your blessings tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church family, I don't think it's going to be a long thought tonight, so I want you to kind of, if you'll just concentrate here real quick this evening, and I'll do my best to keep it moving tonight. The children of Israel had just came out of the land of Egypt. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a picture of our salvation. Are you with me so far? And stay with me, really. I can be really short tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right? I only have one thought tonight. I have 6 points possibly, but I have one thought. All right? So, but the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt, it's a picture. And that picture of them coming out of Egypt is because of the Passover lamb that was slain and the blood put on the doorpost. And of course, that's a picture of salvation, the blood being applied. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could be saved. When they came out of Egypt, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the victorious Christian life, all righty? Because you can't get in the promised land and get out. You can't get in heaven and get out. You're either in or you're out. So really, the wilderness wanderings and getting to the promised land, the wilderness is really, for the Christian, it's the trials that we go through. It's the testings that we go through. The promised land is the victorious Christian life of having good your joy fulfilled, living that spirit-filled life of love, joy, peace, etc. But tonight, I want you to think for just a moment here, as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Red Sea closed. They got to see the Egyptians, and as Moses said, you'll see them no more after today. They had gotten awful worried when they saw the Egyptians leaving and coming to get them, and they were pinned in. Egyptians on one side, Red Sea on the other. But they weren't pinned in, because if you've got God, you're not pinned in. So God parts the Red Sea. They walk over on dry land. And of course, the Egyptians follow them. And don't you like what the Bible just said? God took off their wheels. I mean, they're running right along thinking, boy, we're going to get these folks. And all of a sudden, the wheels pop off. And of course, the Red Sea closed up. And what a great miracle it was. And if you were an Israelite, whether you were a young person or an adult, can you imagine how big their eyes must have been? Can you imagine the enemy coming and they were going to be killed? And all of a sudden, God just drowns them. But what happens next is what I want you to look at tonight. It's in chapter 15 because really they go together. Moses sings this song, but it's a testimony of Israel. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I only need to read the first 3 verses. I want you to look at verse number 1 now in chapter 15. The Bible says this, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. I put emphasis on two phrases in verse number two, and I want you to see them again. In verse number two, the phrase that the children of Israel said and sang, he is my God, my father's God. Church family, as we raise this first, second, third, fourth, maybe fifth generation of people who are saved that are raised in church and they hear about God, we are so concerned about young people going wayward. And the truth of the matter is there is a big, big difference between my father's God and he's my God. There's a big difference between he's my father's God and he's my God. You young people are going to have to decide that sometime in your life. And when you really come to the place where he's your God and he's not just your parents' God. I was trying to think about when it was for me, because really all of us have those times in our life where we make a decision on whether or not God's real to us. Sometimes I think it might have been the time that I sat down to figure out what I really believed about the Bible. I've talked about the spiral notebook and writing down things that I was taught and wondering if these were convictions or just preferences. And I would open up my Bible and try to find out verses that would match what I was taught. I don't know if that was the beginning of it. I don't know if the beginning of it for me was I had my own room, didn't have siblings in my own room. I was in the basement of a house. I don't know if it was when I would get up in the morning on my own and read my Bible as a teenager. I don't know if that's the time that he became mine. I don't know. I don't know if it wasn't for me that when I left for college and I left my mom and dad's home and the security of it to where I'm making my own decisions and wanting God's direction in my life. I don't know if that was it. I don't know if the time possibly could have been when I got married. When a man leaves his father and mother and you have a home and a family on your own, if the responsibility and weight of leading a wife and one day hoping and as the Lord allowed children, if that's when he became my, I don't know. But I do know this, there is a time, and maybe it is in stages, maybe it is a growth of a faith that there's a God in my life, but I can say this for sure for the children of Israel. The children of Israel took place right here. The children of Israel for 430 years were in Egypt and they were in bondage. And again, I know at the beginning they were not, but they ended up being in bondage. And 430 years, they leave Canaan, they're in Egypt. And it's interesting that God says 430 years to the very day is when they marched out of Egypt. During that time, all they saw in Egypt was false gods. They knew of their father's God because they knew who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. They knew the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and they knew that Jacob had 12 sons, and they were divided into those 12 tribes because of those 12 sons. They knew of their father's God, but the children of Israel did not get to a place in their life until the Red Sea shut, and they saw that. And by the way, for me, and I maybe for you, I'm thinking to myself, I just got done seeing water turn to blood. Frogs overrunning Egypt, flies and lice and locusts and darkness, and finally the death of the firstborn. You would think that you'd come to the place, that's my God. Amen. But for whatever the reason, the children of Israel, as they even left Egypt, they turned to Moses when they saw the Egyptian army coming, and they say to Moses, Moses, why did you lead us out? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? But something changed. Something changed in their heart, in their mind, when that water closed down upon the Egyptians. And I want you to notice these things in the end of chapter number 14 that I think is what brought the children of Israel to a place where it was, he's not just my father's God. He's my God. Quickly, let's look at these three things tonight together. If you've got your Bible, look at chapter 14. Look at the end of it. I want you to pick it up in verse number 29. Chapter 14, verse number 29. The Bible says this, but the children of Israel, what's the next word? The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Church, I don't know about you, but again, I'm trying to keep the context together tonight. But to me, for the children of Israel to come into chapter number 15 and they say, he's my God, I think it's because they finally experienced God. They were the ones that walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They were the ones that they could see a wall of water on both sides that God throughout the night had put up to its side. They experienced what God was doing. Think about it for a second here, church family. When they were in the land of Egypt, they were separated from the Egyptians. And yes, God sent those plagues upon the Egyptians, but the Bible specifically says that Goshen was not affected by that. Now they're affected. They're affected as they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. And the Bible says they walked. They experienced God. Young people, we can't just hand God to you. You young people, whether no matter where you're at in your life, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're at in your life, you've got to come to the place, I'm not doing what I'm doing because the church says so or my parents say so. I'm doing this because God's my God. And when he becomes your God, he becomes your God because you experience something about God. They walked through the Red Sea. I think that you can personally experience God when you pray. I think that some of you young people would get more prayers answered than some of the adults in the auditorium if you would just experience God. If you would decide, I'm going to pray. I think that you can experience God when you open up that book because it's quick and powerful. Amen. I think that you can experience God in a church service because I've been, even as a young person, I remember those times I sat in a service and I wish I could say it was every service, but there were particular services that I felt like the Spirit of God just spoke to me. Yes. I think you can experience God in singing. I think that you can experience God when you're by yourself and that still small voice of not hearing an audible voice, but God speaking. I think that those things happen just like it happened to Samuel. I think God does that for us, but there has to be an experience of your own. I enjoy sometimes telling the stories of things that happened growing up, but it's because of my father's God. It was unique to look back at life of somebody who hated my dad so much that he wanted to kill him. And when he stood in court and said, why would you try to kill the clergy? He says, because Pastor Hanks is always trying to save someone. I like stories like that. Amen. I find it unique of hearing all the things that Dad went through, whether it was a gun in his face or somebody trying to throw a grenade or somebody taking one of those bottles with gasoline in a wick and throwing it, whether our house being tried to be burnt down, and all the things Dad went through, but it's because God was real to him. Young people, I feel like that you are blinded, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that you haven't seen yet. I don't feel like that you have seen what your parents have seen. And so you endure what your parents tell you to do, but it's because you haven't experienced what they've experienced. Brother Morgan loves me and loves the church, and more than that, he loves the Lord. But his love is fueled by what he was saved out of. And I know that fuel, we could really say we're fueled by the Spirit of God and spiritual things, but it goes back to what Jesus said to Simon. Simon, this woman that you call a sinner, since I've come, she's not stopped to wash my feet with her tears. This woman whom you call a sinner is anointing my feet with her hair. He who loves much has been forgiven much. And young people, I like you, raised in a Christian home, if you don't, we don't have to experience sin to experience God. You can experience God, and then you can say, I'm not doing this because my parents brought me to church. I'm doing this, whether we call it Christianity or spirituality. I'm doing this because he's my God. Not only do I see this because they experienced God, I want you to see, not only did they personally experience God, look at the next verse, verse number 30, chapter 14. In verse number 30, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw. In verse 29, it says Israel walked, but in verse number 30, it says Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And then it says in verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. You know, not only did they experience God, they saw, they again saw God delivering them in their life. Has God ever done anything just for you? Now, by the way, I understand tonight, and again, this message is not pinpointed to the young person, it's pinpointed to all of us, but we all should be able to say, he's my God. But has he done something for you? And beyond salvation, I'm talking about, yes, he's done something for all of us. I'm saved because the Spirit of God drew me in, and I came under conviction by the Spirit of God, and I answered that call for salvation, and I'm saved, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm talking about, as far as for you, what has he delivered you from? A temptation that's too strong for you to be able to handle, but the Holy Spirit of God says, okay, I'm going to help you with that. What has he delivered you from? A bad thought, an envy, a jealousy, a problem, an offense. What has he delivered you from? I'm just trying to say that he becomes your God when he delivers you or when you see him do something in your life. Amen. Is he real or is he not real? Is God to us almost like what he is to lost people? Well, there's this person in the sky, you know, that's just sitting there and he's allowing things to happen on this earth. God doesn't just allow things. Divinely appointed, whether it's good or bad, we talk about self-inflicted or God's blessing, but you understand that there nothing can happen without God. Job could not be tested without God. David could not have sinned. God could have stopped David from sinning. Do you understand? God's hand is in everything. He's my God. He's my God because of personal experience. He's my God because of seeing God's deliverance. I want you to see one more thing here in verse number 31. He says this, and Israel saw, verse number 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Now, church, I mean, if we come to chapter 15, we come right into that. The very first statement in Moses' song in the children of Israel's deliverance, their words was, he is my God. And I want to tell you, there's something unique about fear and faith. They feared the Lord, they believed the Lord. Amen. That's when he's your God. You know, in an earthly setting, children, believe it or not, have a fear and a faith when it comes to their personal parents, earthly father. I think God sets that up for us when it comes to our spiritual fathers. And again, our faith is in God, but you trust your dad. We use the word believe is here, we use the word faith, but the word believe, you trust, but yet you fear. In other words, if I don't do what I'm told, there's going to be a punishment involved. Again, just like that earthly setting, that should be a spiritual setting. He ought to be your God because you fear him and you believe there's a faith involved. He's my God. When's it going to happen for you? When will it happen that someone won't have to tell you, read your Bible? He's my God. When's it going to happen to you that you're going to come to church and your parents don't have to remind you to bring your Bible? Amen. You bring it because he's my God. Hey, I want to tell you, as long as your Christianity is a bunch of rules and regulations, it's just a matter of time when someone's not going to tell you what to do. Amen. In chapter 15, two things happened maybe their evidence is, I don't know, but two things happened to the children of Israel when they finally said, he's my God, not just my father's God. And they both begin with the word, I will. If you'll notice again in your Bible now in verse number 2, chapter 15, and this is the last thought. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. He goes on to say, the second one, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Young person, I don't know for sure when it's going to happen for you. I wish it was now. I don't know. I don't know how old you have to be to where God's real to you, that you get up in the morning and you read your Bible because you believe that's how he speaks to you, and you pray because you believe he answers. I don't know when it's going to happen for you, but the younger the better. But I will say this, when Israel came to the place where they said, he's my God, not just my father's God, they said, I will, about these two things. The first thing he says, I will prepare him an habitation, the him being God. In other words, the word habitation means rest at home or to keep at home, to be at home with God. Is God at home with you? You know, when you go home, that's where you let your hair down. That's the terminology we use. When you go at home, it's where you relax. Amen. you know, pastors give, is supposed to be given to hospitality, and we'll have people at our house. But when people are at our house, I don't act at home. I act because act as if there are people at our house. But when it's just my family, we act like I'm at home. Amen. I walk around the house in pajamas. Don't let your mind go there. I do. Amen. When I get on my little elliptical, I'm in a t-shirt. I know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Hate to put those images in your mind, Benjamin. This massive body that you see right here. When I'm at home, I am relaxed. Is God at home with you? Can God talk to you plainly? Can God show you things in your life? Can I just tell you, when he's your God, he's at home. He can tell you things. The second thing he says here is, if he's your God, I will exalt him. You know, I was teasing with those girls, but they did a good job singing a moment ago. They did a really good job. The reason they had to come up and sing, because two of those girls were sticking their tongue out at me on the platform. Naughty, naughty, naughty. And if you stick your tongue out at me, you get to come sing. I'm glad the young people feel comfortable. I don't know if I should say that or not. But I'm glad that they feel comfortable to tease with me. But I was very pleased about how they sang. I want to tell you something. When he's your God, you don't mind singing. You don't mind talking about him. You don't mind sharing him. This isn't a matter of, well, I would tell others, but I'm an introvert. No, wait a second here. He's your God. He's your God. I hope you don't mind Mrs. Dillon sharing this. I don't think it's offensive. I'm going to share it. She was telling me that her and her husband was on a work trip, and so she went with her husband. Of all places, it was in Vegas. She won a lot of money. No, that's not what happened. She was telling me how she was on the strip there because of some of the work-related things. Her husband was working on things. And she's passing out tracks to these. Can I just use the word heathen without describing how? Ms. Dillon, I was proud of you. And she was not telling me that for any other reason. We were just talking about general things. But I caught that when you said that. Hey, when he's your God, you want to exalt him. Amen. You want to tell somebody about him. You want to sing about him. Young people, you hear us, read your Bible and do your daily devotional and sing during the services and bring your Bible. And we're just trying to get you to the place to figure out he's your God. Sometimes we get impatient with young people, but church family, think about it for a second here. Our young people have never seen the death of a firstborn. Our young people have never seen utter darkness for 3 days. Our young people have never seen frogs and lice and locusts and hail. Israelites saw all of that, and they couldn't figure out, oh, that must be God. But I want to tell you, when they finally did figure out he was God, when they walked through that Red Sea on dry ground, I want to tell you, when they figured out he was God, when God delivered them from those Egyptians that were on their way to kill him, and God answered their prayer and took care of it. Amen. Young people, I don't think we can just hand it to you. I wish we could. He is real. He's real. Listen, you ought to want him to be your God. And I don't think you have to wait till you're older for him to be your God. But I do know this, when he becomes your God, he's at home with you. I will provide a habitation, my walk with him, my devotion. I've made a way for him to talk to me and for me to talk to him. And if he's your God, you don't mind exalting him. God, you're a great God. Thank you for what you give me. Thank you for the home that I live in. Thank you for the parents that you gave me. Thank you for the education, homeschool, Christian school. Thank you for what you've given me. Public school. Hey, whatever God's given you, you ought to be thankful for that. He's my God. You know, somebody, I don't know who, they put on my desk a picture of my father. I don't know if it was a staff member that found the pictures or not. Several pictures of my dad. Might have been a family member, I don't know. This last week I walked in and saw my dad's picture. And to be honest with you, I don't think I even had any pictures. Somebody found a good-sized picture of my father. And it was sitting on my desk. And so many things come to my mind with my father. You hear stories, and I think sometimes I probably present my dad in a negative way, but he was just old school. And old school was not bad. Part of our problem today is we've got young people who are babies because they've been pampered all their life. Those old school guys, they just said like it was. You don't like it? There, lump it. There's the door. Well, they shouldn't do that. Well, I'll tell you something. They produced a little bit more thicker skinned Christian than these thin skinned, you know, don't look at me the wrong way. Make sure you say nice things to me. My father wasn't like that. I was looking at that picture and I was thinking about him. And he was just, you know, this is just the way it is. I mean, he had a problem. Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says. And even in what he believed very strongly. But I want to tell you why. Because that was his God. And there needs to be somebody. Church, have you ever thought about this? If we as parents don't pass on to our children that he's not just our God and that he's their God, who are they going to pass on? Who are they going to, young people, whose God are you going to pass on? If he never becomes your God and God lets you have a family, who are your children going to be able to say, he's my God? They're not going to see it in us if we don't make him ours. Hey, I want to tell you the best way to make him yours is experience him. The best way for you to make him yours is let him ask for his deliverance in your life, whatever those areas of your life, ask for his deliverance. Amen. And he'll do it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to please help all of us tonight to realize you.